Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Everyone, I am so excited. We are here another Monday on the Marriage Playbook. I am just so grateful that we have another opportunity to come on. I am so excited about the show tonight. But listen, before we even get started, I'm telling you, callers, you want to call in, press 1 when you do so you can be live on the show. 646-668-8485. Please, again, don't forget to press 1. We want you live on the show with us. Look, send your questions and your comments to the email, themarriageplaybook@gmail.com. The website, if you can go on any computer or mobile device, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Go like us on Facebook, The Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. And we're also on Instagram, The Marriage Playbook. And also tweet us, The Marriage Playbook. So listen, we are excited about tonight's show. I'm just so excited because we had an opportunity to be with our family last night. Sundays is our family day and family time, and we got to play this really crazy game. Every time we get these games, our children are putting us onto these new games. And so we had a wonderful, wonderful time, and I thank God for that because it's so important that we spend time with family. It's important that we sit down and hash out and talk about things that keeps us separated. So let me tell you something. It was wonderful last night, and I'm just still full with that. Amen. So, Coach Eric, how you feel today? And let's get on with this show, son.
Yeah, enough with all the introduction.
Yes.
Let's get to the show.
No.
This is the Marriage Playbook Season 5, Game 4. Okay? We're titled Nothing But Crumbs. It's the risk of giving up the cookie. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all done heard that terminology before. It's the risk of giving up the cookie. Now, you know, that we live in a society now where, you know, it's very sexualized. It's hyper-sexualized. So most people today, you know, we fail to see the significance of keeping one's virtue.
Yeah, we do. And one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about not only keeping your virtue or how to keep your virtue, but also allow you to be mindful of the trick of the enemy, because the enemy know what you like too, you know. He knows, or he's watching and studying your movements, you know. So we're going to get into all of that because our desire always on the Marriage Playbook, for one, to always be equal across the board, what we're saying to men and to women so you can have a successful life. And if you're waiting on your husband, you're waiting on your wife, trust me, it's ways that you can do it where God will keep you, so then your marriage would be blessed. Those who are married, things that we can increase and be better as a husband and a wife, you know, to each other, and then the family dynamics. So we're excited about tonight. We want you guys to call in 646-668-8485. 646-668-8485. Listen, press 1, callers. We want to hear from you tonight. And look, we're going to take a quick commercial time out, and we'll be right back after the commercial.
All right.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, man. Season 5, Game 4, Nothing But Crumbs, The Risk of Giving Up the Cookie. Now, we covered that. You know, I'm going to throw a word out there. It's called abstinence. Okay, now, when you hear people talk about abstinence, people seem to consider you as being weird or old-fashioned because today's society with all these peer pressures, we want to be hip, we want to be cool, we want to be part of the in crowd, or we want to just use physical manipulation to try to get somebody to love us. Okay, so there's many reasons why we give up the cookie, but I just want to let you know that, you know, this is the Marriage Playbook, and this is Real Christian Radio, and this is not the Get Laid Playbook or Let's Have Sex Playbook or How to Hook Up Playbook. This is the Marriage Playbook, okay? So we're going to talk about marriage and biblical principles of what do we do and how do we go about being intimate with another individual and why wouldn't we do this, okay? Because what we do is we get into this sexual situation, and then everything falls apart and everything turns into crumbs because we make this so-called commitment, or really it's a compromise, okay, and then there's no real commitment after you give up your virtue because we don't put no value on keeping ourselves in today's society. Right. Women and men of all types, we give up the cookie so liberally and without shame, we fail to realize that, you know, we lose some of our self-worth when we do this. We lower our self-esteem. We show that we don't have integrity of character. And what we're left with is pretty much nothing but crumbs. So we're going to get into our first segment. I didn't even title the first segment because I'm going to do my best to attempt, you know, and give you the reasons why we shouldn't give up the cookie, why we should keep ourselves. Okay? So I hope that what I say wakes us up and shows us how crazy we are. Okay? Now, I'm talking to certain people who's listening today and others that are listening, you know, just listening and chiming, if you would please call in. Okay, what happens? I'll make the statement. We lose for ourselves the thing that we demand from others. What am I talking about? I'm talking about respect. Let me show you how crazy we are. Okay, we want to be respected, but we give up our respect when we do things in of whorish nature, things that's immoral. So we don't have respect for ourselves, but we demand respect from others. Don't you see that's kind of crazy? I'm going to give you an example. If a woman or a man is engaging in whorish behavior and is called a whore or a dog, you might get a violent reaction from that, okay? But by definition, that's exactly what you are and what you are doing. You are participating in whorish behavior and immoral behavior. Because society don't see it that way don't mean it's not so. So this whole world and the whole media is designed today to desensitize us, to brainwash us into thinking that having sex, you know, promiscuous sex is okay. It's a normal thing to do. Everybody's doing it. Right. Everybody's about it. Even fashion is designed to try to manipulate us and seduce us into that type of behavior. Right. But is it moral or immoral? Right. It is considered immoral behavior by the standards of God, particularly when it happens in the household of faith. So don't we see that we're kind of crazy about this?
I
love what you said, Coach Eric. And one of the things that, you know, we need to also be mindful, again, this is Christian Radio, and we're concerned about the body of believers who've allowed this thing to be of norm, you know. That's the scary part of it, you know. When we say we love God and that, you know, we love church, we love our leaders, we love all these different things, then when you say that, like you're saying you love your parents or you love your friends or your best friend, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to do things to show them that you love them, you know. You're going to always present yourself in a respectable way to show them that you care or that you love them. So we say we love Christ, we say we love God, we love his word, we honor, we respect, and we go through all of that, but then we don't obey the commandments that's set before us, you know. And I looked up the word, I thought it was so, these topics are really, again, make you not only study, but it makes you look at things from the eyes of God. Yes, he loves us, and so this is why he's given his word to protect us. A lot of times people might feel like they're being chastened or corrected, or they might feel like they're being attacked when it comes to the word of God, or when someone is trying to tell them something when it comes to what we should not do against God's word. Because a lot of times if you're in that position, you only have one or two options. You're either going to receive the word for your life, or you're going to continue in the way where you are. And our strong desire as true believers in the gospel is that people be made free from those things that will keep you from your relationship or building a relationship with God, you know. And so I love this topic because we're talking about men and women. And I know in the world they would say giving up the cookie is for the woman, but we're talking to men also, because you have men that will lose their virtue also. I've seen men give themselves to a woman, and a woman just dog them out, and then that man is no good no more. So, again, a man and a woman just equally is responsible for how you keep yourself when you say you love God. You know, so I looked up the word crumb. That's what the thing that stuck out to me. I looked up the word crumb, and it says a small fragment of bread, cake, or cracker, a very small amount of something. And let me tell you what's so deep about this. This is how the enemy get us. You know, the enemy get you to say, oh, it's a small thing. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Nothing's going to happen. Right. But guess what? The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. That means it can destroy everything in your life. So it might have just been that small piece, but now that small piece has taken over and destroyed every part of your life.
Very good. So just saying that what a crumb is what's left. Mm-hmm. Now, when I thought about that, when I heard that definition, I said this to myself. It's not fair to a good man or a good woman to hook up or get married to somebody who's been promiscuously having sex out there, and now all you're doing is giving the man or the woman what's left. Now, listen, this is no indictment, you know, because guess what, man? I wasn't perfect when I was a young man, or I'm still not perfect. And, I'm not talking to perfect people. I'm just saying, you know, we're talking about biblical principles here, okay? What we're trying to explain to you, that it's better to keep yourself than to give yourself away. That's all we're saying. It's better to keep yourself than to give yourself away. Let me prove it to you. When you finally meet that person that you love and they love you back, in your mind, you wishing that you never gave yourself to any other man, or you wish you saved yourself for this woman that you love.
That's right.
I said, man, I wish I would have saved myself for my wife, man, because my wife deserved all my love, and I wish I was a brand new car when she got me instead of a used vehicle. I wish I can go back and change it. And every man, every woman is thinking that in the back of their mind. Okay, so I hope there's some young people listening today that, oh, God, that are still virgins, because they make that seem like it's a bad thing.
Right.
If you're a virgin, you're thought of as, man, you're a virgin, man, you don't know nothing. Guess what? It's good not to know some things.
Right.
You know, it was a time that virtue and being a virgin was a priced thing. It's priceless. It still is priceless. We just don't see it that way any longer.
Right.
You know, what's going on with this generation? You know, and I'm going to tell you one of the biggest problems is this. You know, we used to know right from wrong. we should know that we was doing something wrong. Even in my generation, my time, we knew we was doing something wrong. We was having sex with somebody that we wasn't married to. And let me put some foundation on this. If you're having sex with someone who you are not married to, okay, this is considered sin. This is fornication. Okay, let's put a cap on that. That is wrong to do that. It is socially acceptable, but not accepted by God.
Right.
Something that you have to repent for, because it is sin against God and against your body. Okay? So guess what? If you're not married to someone and you're having sex, you're really not supposed to be doing that, and you are committing sin. And here's the big thing. You are dishonoring yourself. Because
right.
The woman really belongs to the father. Why do you think the father gives the bride away at a wedding? He gives the bride away because the bride belongs to the father, so he gives it to the husband. Now it's the husband's responsibility to take care of that woman. And he has the right to have sex with her, to have knowledge of her, to have intimacy with her because of marriage. That's why the Bible denotes that marriage is honorable. And then it goes on to say the bed is undefiled. So what does that mean? Without marriage, your bed is what? Defiled. You're doing something that's dirty. You're doing something that's vile in the sight of God and should be in the sight of man and woman. But we've been desensitized to see differently.
And I'm going to tell you, not only we've been desensitized to see it differently, the other thing, too, is we've been desensitized to even respect those who come in to help us. You know, it's like now, oh, you come in now, you trying to be in my business, you trying to tell me what to do, or you trying to, you know, or someone is trying to intercede or get in the way of what you're doing or the choices of your life. Listen, when someone loves you, I'm talking about when they really love you. You know, you have your pastor, your bishop, your big brothers and sisters in the gospel. People are there to assist and to help you, you know. And a lot of times, because not only we're desensitized, we put up this guard, you know, and the thing Coach Eric said, there's no shame anymore. You know, there's no shame anymore. There is no, the first thing people saying is they'll turn around and make it be on you and never look at themselves and see in their life where I need to get my life right. So they'll say, oh, well, you think you're perfect and this, that, and the other. No, it's not that. You know, it's just that now that God has made me free, one of my commands or my assignments or I've been commissioned to do, like any big brother or sister or pastor or preacher that love you, now it's my job to assist you and to help you either come out of it or to never do that, because it's consequences, you know. And what happens is when we do these things, we suffer the consequences, and then we want to blame everyone for our actions. You know, I was just saying something to a young woman on yesterday. What we do is we don't understand the enemy job. I'm sorry, I was talking to Coach Eric, and he taught me this. The enemy job is to hold you captive in sin. So as long as he can hold you in bondage and you die in that state, that's all he wants.
Yeah.
So this is why God wants his people free. And sometimes when you in bondage, you don't even see you in bondage. God got to send someone that can come bring the truth of the word to you and unlock that situation so you can become free in Christ.
What is bondage?
Hold on.
What is bondage? Bondage is sin. That's what sin is. Sin is bondage. What is bondage? Now, while she's trying to find that definition, I want to make this statement right here. What we see going on in the world is directly related to what's going on in the church. All right, it's getting ready to get a little deep here. What we see happening in the world is directly related to what's going on in the church. So what are you talking about, Coach E? Well, in the church today, and this, I'm not talking about every church because we got some nice churches. In the church today, we got some so-called men and women of God that are too cowardice to address what is evil. They don't talk about what's evil in the world. They don't talk about or address what's evil in the church. And you know why it's like this? Because it appears that everybody is giving up the cookie, even in church.
That's right.
Oh, why do you think the world is the way they are? We got some churches that are so buck wild, they are giving up the cookie churches. That's all they do. You know, they're giving up the cookie in the choir. They're giving up the cookie in the pews. Men and women giving up the cookie in the pulpit. Pimping pastors and sneaking deacons. You got Little Richards and Liberace's in the choir, and they're in the closet, but they're not praying in the closet. You know what I'm talking about. The church is so buck wild, the world don't have an example to look at any longer. We're not praying like we're supposed to be praying. And we're not representing Christ the way we should be representing Christ, like it used to be. People are confused when they see the church. Now listen to this scripture. We go on to the playbook, 2 Chronicles 7 chapter 14 verse. Now listen to the wording here in 2 Chronicles. It said, if my people, now it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And listen to this part. And turn from their wicked ways. It said, my people turn from their wicked ways. What is God's people doing with wicked ways? And this is in the church today. There's so much wicked stuff going on in church that if somebody would actually come off the streets in the church, they would see the same thing in the church that's going on out in the street, and that shouldn't be. And then we wonder why our world is so wicked. We're not being the examples that we're supposed to be.
That Coach Eric, because God has given us the power, you know, to be able to change situations and people's lives. But if we are in bondage ourselves, how can we free somebody else? And that's one of the biggest problems. I don't care if you're gifted. I wrote it today. You can be gifted. You can have the spiritual discernment, which is part of is another gifting. You can have knowledge. You can have wisdom. You can have understanding. You can have all of those things and still be in bondage, you know, and still not even operate in it effectively like you should, you know. But it takes us, I love what he said, you know, spiritual leaders, and you do have good men and women of God up there who are holding up the banner, who are not bending and bowing down and not compromising, you know. So we do. Again, it's not just a blanket statement, because I thank God for the leadership that we're sitting under. Issues and things that go on do not go unaddressed.
Right.
But also, I thank God, because also you have to be mature and skillful. Because, again, in this, God is not trying to hurt anybody. Anytime anything is addressed in our lives concerning sin, God is trying to save you. God is trying to deliver you. You know, God is not trying to, and listen, we apologize. I apologize, I mean, so many times to people, because people have been in churches that abused them and misused them and didn't do things right. I am so sorry for that, you know. But let me tell you something. Don't allow that not only to stop you from having a relationship with God and getting close to God and getting to know Christ. Let me just warn you, that's a trick of the enemy too, because that will not be an excuse for the way we live our lives today. We still got to give an account to God. And guess what? We're going to stand before him one day about our lives and about what we do. And it's going to be everything, good and evil, we have done and committed in this body. And so God wants us to be blessed, you know. And in order to be blessed, you have to position yourself. And like Coach Eric said, the repent. People think repent means to ask God and apologize and say, oh, God, forgive me, I did that. No, repent, that's forgiveness. God, forgive me.
Yeah.
You know, but repentance is, God, I am sorrowful about what I did. And now you're going to turn from that thing and you're not going to do that anymore. You know? And I mean, sometimes it's going to be to a place where you just got to cut it off. You know, no late phone calls, no text messages, no sexting messages, no Facebook. You may have to disconnect yourself and build yourself up in God so you can get strong, you know, because it's always reminded me of the scripture. Going to the playbook now, James, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read from the 5th verse. It says, do you think that the scriptures saith in vain. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now this is the seventh verse. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from who? You. And what's going on is we think it's hard about what we're struggling in, but the thing is, for one, you got to submit yourself to God totally.
Yes.
And then you got to resist the devil when he come up to you with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You got to say, oh, no, not today. Not just today, but tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, but next week. No, not only next week, but next year. No, not, you know, until God send me my mate. And one of the problems, we don't resist the devil. We resist him that one time, and then we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, good job, you resisted him today. But guess what? You want to resist him tomorrow. You're going to have to resist him next week. You know, you might have to resist him three times in one day, you know? And then you are more than a conqueror when he see that you're not giving into that thing. Guess what? Yeah, he's going to bring it back, but he may bring it back another way. But guess what? Resist him again. You know, so this is the thing. We got to resist the things that will keep us in bondage and keep us from out of the will of God.
Mm-hmm. See, it's not our intent to attack the body of Christ because we're part of it.
That's right.
Okay? But because of the misrepresentation that's been going on in the house of God, there should be a difference between the nightclub and the house of God. When you go to the nightclub, you might want to bring somebody home with you. But when you go to church, you should only bring Jesus home with you. We don't be going in the house of God to try to hook up and find somebody. The only thing we're supposed to find in the house of God is Jesus. And we've been having a problem with this. So I'm praying for the people of God. I'm praying for the house of God, you know. And there's no indictment because you got false churches with good people in them. And you got good churches with false people in them. Okay? That's just reality. You know, but I pray to God, you know, that people, that we would turn. And that's what repentance means. It means the volitional of turning away from something. Okay, when we say we repent, we're not going that way again. We're changing our direction and go toward God where we were untoward God.
Exactly, and that's the key, you know, and also you begin to see God strengthening your life. You'll see God opening doors for you, and God always make a way of an escape, always. Always, God is true to his word. I remember being a babe in Christ, and I was doing stuff, and you can hear that tug in your heart and in your ear, and the Lord is softly saying, listen, don't go that way. Don't do that. You know you shouldn't do that. Oh, you shouldn't. And then what happens is, it's not that we haven't been warned, but we're like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. And guess what? What I want to warn you even today, and I'm telling you, we had an awesome word preached yesterday, and it's something the Lord has really been putting in my heart. We have to really watch it because the enemy is setting a trap for you that you're not going to ever be able to come out of. You know? And the enemy job, I love the way she put this, the enemy job is to shame you so much that you won't even want to come back to God. You know? And I want to say something even on behalf of what Coach Eric said about the church. Listen, it's nothing wrong with Christ's body. It's nothing wrong even with the church. So let's make this correction.
All right.
It's something wrong with the people who are coming to church.
Mm.
And church is a hospital, but if you're going to be in the hospital and never plan to get well, then it's going to be blood and mess everywhere all the time.
Oh, God.
You know? So what I'm saying now is to an individual, your heart and your mind have to go after God. And you have to allow God to deliver and to fix you.
That's it.
And that's everybody.
That's it.
You know? And the other thing, too, is you can't be looking at what somebody else is doing and in their sins or in their mess or in their what they need to be delivered. Because guess what? We all came in the hospital sick. That's what the hospital is for. Everybody got an issue. Something is going on. But the problem comes when you come to the hospital to get fixed and then you never get what you need from Jesus.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll talk to my producer, Park. Park, I don't even want to go to commercial. This is so good. I want to keep going, but we got to stop for a minute. We got to take a break. All right, so please call us at 646-668-8485. Press 1 if you want to field your question or your comment. 646-668-8485. Press 1. Please, man, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with more of this. All right, we'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at jorymicah.com. for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, to answer the call to ministry.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, Coach. Season 5, Game 4. Of the Marriage Playbook, nothing but crumbs. The risks of giving up the cookie. Okay, really quick, some quick risks of giving up the cookie. You may become a single parent because of it. That's one. Two, you may end up with someone that you really wasn't supposed to marry because you got intimate and now you got married because, you know, you've been guilted into marriage because y'all made that mistake. Many risks of giving up the cookie. You know, you feel less of a person because you did it. You get your heart broken. Disease. There's so many things that can happen to you when you just give up the cookie.
That's right.
You're taking a risk that's unnecessary. Protect your virtue. Keep yourself for your future spouse. Please do this. The whole difference in it really is a matter of honor. You know, we talked earlier in the segment about respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not only what honor means. Honor deals with nobility. Now you're talking about royalty. Now, we know that life without God puts an individual in the position of what? The heathen. What exactly is a heathen? Well, I'm glad you asked. A heathen is a person who does not belong to the faith. In other words, an unbeliever, one who does not belong to the monarchy. And the monarchy is a very important word because it's only defined as keepers of the faith. What we're talking about and addressing here is the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, the kingdom of God, you heard me talk about it many times, is exactly that. It is a kingdom where there's honor, nobility, royalty. Now, if I went to the Marriage Playbook, I would go to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. And what that is denoting is talking about who we are. It says we are chosen people. I'm paraphrasing. It says we are a royal priesthood. It says we are peculiar, okay? We are inheritors to the kingdom of God. We are subject to the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors and citizens of the kingdom of God. And because of that, we deal in the embassy. That's what churches are. They're embassies all over the world. The kingdom of God has a culture. It has a conduct. It has a constitution and law, which is the word of God. We are ambassadors of light and not darkness.
That's right.
Now, I settle that to say this. That means we don't conduct ourselves or deal in activities that are of darkness. Anything has anything to do with sin or anything that's ungodly, anything that's not like God, we do not participate or supposed to participate in. It's not part of the culture of the kingdom of God. The difference here is honor. A man of God should be noble enough that when he takes a young single lady out to dinner, that he wants to protect her virtue and his because of his nobility. Now, when a man takes out certain types of women and don't have sex with them, a lot of times they are dealt with in derogatory tone. They're spoken as a chump, or there's something wrong with you. You're weird because you don't want to have sex with me, because what you really do feel is rejected because nobody wants to have sex with you, because there's something wrong with you, and vice versa for the man. There's something wrong with your character if you think what values you, if somebody wants you sexually, that's what gives you value. Okay? That's the same mindset of the prostitution. She values her sex. That's why she sells it. This is not for the honorable man or the honorable woman. The woman or man of God should not behave in this fashion. Yeah. Paul denotes in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says this to me. He says, follow me as long as I follow Christ. You got to watch your pastor. And if he's not going and living according to the word of God, if he's not going in that direction, you want to get away from it as soon as you possibly can. Because we need direction in our life, and it always should be according to the doctrines of the kingdom of God. Being obedient to the will of God. This is what we're talking about. And what does God say about intimacy? He says marriage is honorable. That's what the word of God says. It says marriage is honorable. Anything else that you're doing outside of marriage between a man and a woman that's intimate is dishonorable behavior. It is your personal responsibility, everyone's responsibility, to develop a real relationship with Christ. Because everyone has to do this. What does it mean? It means acceptance of Christ as Lord. It means repentance. That means your whole direction changes now. See, we got to teach you how to identify what a man and woman of God looks like in their character, how they conduct themselves, in their faith walk. Your faith should affect your character. It should evoke change in what you do and how you do it, how you go about it. How you go about what? How you go about your life now. So guess what? We don't follow the crowd. The crowd say wear tight pants, we say wear them loose. Fashion say wear short skates, we say wear them long. Why? Because we have to make a difference between what is holy and what is unholy. Now I use the word holy. Holiness is the standard of the kingdom of God. And holiness is right. Even if the church ain't preaching it, it's still right. God said, be ye holy, for your Father in heaven is what? Holy. And it's a shame for us to read a holy Bible, go to a holy tabernacle, where the Holy Ghost with God, then we don't behave holy. Yeah. We do everything that's unholy, but we're representing ourselves as what? Holy. So we wear collars and we wear crosses on. But inwardly, we're not of God. So now we got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We're denying what our Father has given us, the inheritance that our Father has given us. And then we go on and behave just like the heathen.
you know, Coach Eric, I just want to come in because I have to go back to this word bondage. I want to read this because I thought this was so deep. But I love what you said about that because the other thing we forget and what we do is we latch onto grace and we latch onto God's mercy and we think that gives us carte blanche to do whatever we want and that God is going to accept it, you know. And so that's the thing that the enemy has tricked us to think that, oh, God's grace and, you know, and I can just, you know, because God is going to forgive me, you know. And yes, he will, and I have scriptures even for that because the Bible lets us know that we have an advocator. Now watch this, because some scriptures, what we do is we latch onto scriptures that we want, but we don't read the rest of it. And what we don't understand is when we have somebody advocating for us and standing for our defense, the Bible says, if you sin, you know, and so if we sin, then, okay, Lord, forgive me, I repent, and then we're turning. But what we're saying is we'll take that scripture and say, oh, well, he's going to forgive us and everything's going to be all right. And don't you understand even when God forgives us, it's still a penalty for your consequences, that sin has wages? So God can forgive you, but guess what? You now are sowing unrighteous seed in the ground that you're going to have to be accountable to, especially if you're out there hurting souls, if you're being a womanizer, women, if you're being messing up a bunch of men, especially if you're in church and you're messing up souls. That's a soul. You know, you think God ain't going to hold you accountable to that? You know, we got to be very careful what we're doing and how we're doing it and stop taking things so lightly and think that when we do stuff that, and then God already know in your heart, if you're not truly sincere about that, you know, you're really setting yourself up for failure, you know. And, again, I love that word that Eric talked about, being whole. But I want to read this because I was looking up the word bondage, and let's go to this one. The first one says the state of being a slave, you know, and so we know all of that, and we know even when the scripture talks about being a slave and our masters and things like that, even that scripture was taken out of context. But the thing is, God want us, it was a, what do you call it? It was just showing us how we should surrender our lives over to Christ and how, you know, we're not our own and we should fully submit. So whatever the Lord is calling us to do, then we're going to do that fully, you know. We'll be enslaved to the gospel. We're enslaved to righteousness. We're enslaved to truth, you know. We're not enslaved to the enemy no longer when you become a child of God. But then I looked at the second one, and it says sexual practice that involves the tying up or restraining of one partner. I said, now why would it say that? Because sex is bondage. If you're doing it not according to the scriptures.
Right.
And what I love about what Coach Eric said, not only that we serve a holy God, but we serve a holy God who wants us to be whole in him. You know, and sometimes we think, oh, well, we're going to be broken for the rest of our lives and we can't be no better. We can't do no better. That's it with the trick of the enemy. You know, again, you have to resist even the thoughts that he brings to you. You have to resist the negativity. You have to resist those friends who are doing whatever they want to do. And you know it. That's not what God is really tugging on your heart to go the opposite way. You have to resist those things and you have to cut yourself off from those things that does not please God. So here we are, the playbook, 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to 21. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. You see evil coming, you don't be playing with evil, and you say, oh, well, I can handle it. Oh, I know I'm strong enough. Oh, I know I can do it. Oh, I know. And the Bible tells us to tempt not the Lord thy God. You know, now you're saying, okay, God, I know you're going to make me strong. No, if that brother is fine, okay, he's looking good, and he got the six-pack going on and all that, and you know you can't restrain yourself, and I don't care how long you've been keeping yourself from God, you better watch it. You better run. You know, you better run. The first sign of it, you know. And guess what? Abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't care what it is. Even now, I've been in Christ 19 years. If it look evil, I'm not watching it. If it's on Facebook and I'm not supposed to push play, I'm not pushing play. You know, if it's whatever it is, you know, I'm making sure that I'm being mindful and watchful. Why? Because I don't want to displease God. I don't want to not be in God's favor. I don't want to not be in his grace. I don't want God to look down and that he can't use me, you know, because we want to live any kind of way and we say, okay, God, use me the way I am. No, God don't want to do that. So now, 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God want to make you whole, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. If you want to be kept by God, God will keep you in your singleness. God will keep you in your marriage. God will keep you in any situation, man, that you can stay with him and love him with a pure heart.
Well put, Coach Frank. Well put. Young ladies, got to watch those guys with the six packs, and there's a couple of sexy barrels out there too. So you got to watch them too. Yeah, you got to watch it.
Then watch those women.
Yeah, watch those women. Yeah, we call it snake season. Just taking the clothes off. Yay, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
You got to watch your eyes and watch yourself. Main thing to do is watch yourself. Keep yourself.
Listen, men. Okay. All right, because I know men, scripture tells it, men love nothing, man love nothing more than a woman. But if that woman is not your wife, let me tell you something, you better watch yourself this summer. You hear me? Hold yourself up, man of God. You be what God is calling you to be and strengthen yourself so that God can send you your wife. Because something Coach Eric said, and I wrote it down while we were on break, we don't only get diseases, we don't only get sick and have bad, when it comes to us, what can happen. The other thing is you hold up your blessing.
You hold
your blessing up.
That's right.
We try to figure out why God not blessing us, because we know we not walking in God's will. You know? And so you mess your blessing up. Your wife is looking at you. Your husband is looking at you. And here you messing around with all these guys. And he's saying, well, God, this can't be my wife. You know? So you mess up the opportunities that God has placed before you.
Which brings me to this. Now, I'm going to say this. And this goes for men and women. But I'm going to address the women with this. This is, I'm speaking from a man's point of view, but it also applies, you know, to women. This is what every man is thinking. Every man, when he finds a woman that he loves, he wishes nothing. He wishes that he was the first and only man to ever touch that woman. That's what's going on in the back of his mind. He might not say it, but he wishes that he wants to be the first and only. He actually wants a virgin because he hates the thought of someone else touching what is his. He feels that he may not measure up to the men or man that came before him. Now, he might not say nothing to you because he loves you. And I'm not saying that a man can't love a woman who's not a virgin or a woman that has children. I'm not saying a man can't love a woman like that because you got a good woman, they made a couple of mistakes, or was in a bad relationship, but they're ready to start again. There's nothing wrong with that.
God can keep you even in
that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Let me show you the good news of that. All right, according to the scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, everybody knows the 17th verse, therefore if any man be in Christ. Now what we're talking about is you was out there, but now you in church. Now you in Christ, you done got saved. It says he or she is what? A new creature, and old things, all the past relationships, all the stuff that happened to you are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So God can make you new, re-virgin you for your spouse. Okay? If you behave like a harlot or was in intimate relationships outside of the will of God, and now you in Christ, God can make you brand new. And show you as brand new and start you all over again, because God wants to send somebody that's for you, tailor-made for you.
true, because let me tell you something. I mean, when I think about my life and I think about all the things I encountered in life, no one could have ever told me that God would bless me with a wonderful husband. It's no way. Nobody could have told me that after having children. I mean, I told you before, listen, this is the marriage playbook, and, you know, we got to keep it real.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, you know, the risk of giving up the cookie can really land you in some terrible places. Now, I wasn't saved when I went through all the things I went through, but when Christ came into my life, I then realized how important it is or how important it was for me to keep myself, because just because I wasn't saved, God's word still remained, and what he say in his word was true. And I can look back in the word of God and see why I even encountered all the things that I did, you know. So would I be thinking that a man of God would want a woman with three grown children now? Because they weren't babies when Coach Eric and I got married, you know. So now you're thinking about how this is going to work out, you know, and what's going to happen. And, I mean, you go through all these things and these emotions. But listen, God has not condemned me or not condemning me of my past, you know. And God was able to keep me, you know, for my husband. He was able to do that. So this is why I say it's not impossible. You know, it's you have to be honest, and then you have to confess your sin before God. See, one of the things is we want to cover up, but we don't want to come out and be honest and say, you know what, I have a lust problem. I have a sin problem with sex. I have a problem with pornography. I have a problem with this, or I have a problem with that. We don't want to do that, you know. And sometimes that promiscuity has come from a violation of our childhood.
That's right.
You know, I didn't understand why was I so promiscuous at a young age.
Yeah.
You know, because of those things that happened. I tell people all the time, I've been molested by four men in my family.
Wow.
Let me tell you something, and that promiscuity, okay, praise God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I had my first child at the age of 14 years old.
Wow.
So I know that you can have sex and put yourself in some situations, man. And listen, some stuff you didn't even understand when you were younger.
Right.
So God is not holding that against you.
Right.
But when you come out of all the stuff that God has saved you from,
right,
why not serve a God that can keep you? Why not
right.
serve a God that loves you? Why not serve a God that can erase all the things that happened in your life and give you a brand new beginning? Because that's what he wants. But one of the things we don't do, we don't confess. Now, we have to confess first. We have to acknowledge that there is a problem so God can step in. And look at this, Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. We got to say, God, I have a problem, so he can step in. And sometimes it might be deep-rooted of a past issue. You don't even know why you are acting the way you're acting. You don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening, you know? And let me tell you something. You know it takes a lot of cookie crumbs to make a whole cookie. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my point exactly, you know? And one of the things, we'll run around and try to get all these crumbs to try to make a whole cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that can make us whole is Jesus.
That's it.
The only thing that can make us whole is Jesus, you know? And so just like in the natural, let me tell you, we love cookies. Well, I know I love cookies. But all those who love cookies, you go to your favorite cookie pack, and all the cookies is gone, and the crumbs is there. When you eat those crumbs, you're not satisfied. You're trying to go out and buy a whole new pack of cookies,
right?
You know? So you're never going to be satisfied even with receiving crumbs from somebody else. You're just not.
That's right. Tell you now, when Coach Eric eat cookie, I don't leave no crumbs. That's why I had to have the whole cookie when I got there. You know, crumbs just not going to do. So I say don't misrepresent yourself. You know, if you're going to be in Christ, be real about it.
That's right.
Let okay? You know, and don't misrepresent yourself in the way you carry yourself. Young ladies, I'm talking to my sisters, as usual. Get those rings off your left-hand finger if you're not married. All right? Don't misrepresent yourself because you're going to miss your blessing. Because a good man, I said this to my daughter just yesterday, a good man is looking at your hands to see if you're married or not.
Because your real daughter's married.
All right.
Yes, amen.
Okay, well, that's my daughter too.
Amen.
All right, that's how I see it. It takes a special kind of love for a man to raise somebody else's kids or come into a situation with his other children there. Okay? It takes a special kind of man to do that. Right? It's got to be love there. It's extremely important. So in closing, I'm going to say this. I believe that we should save ourselves for marriage. When you find that, and I said it earlier, when you find that person that you can love and they love you back, they deserve more than just the crumbs.
And listen, okay? If you wait for the cookie, then y'all can enjoy cookies together. Amen. So listen, we love you guys. We pray that you were blessed on tonight. We pray that we said something that encouraged someone on tonight. Please stay with God. Be with God. God is a deliverer. He will heal you. He will change your life. You know, and God will give you the ability to sustain until he send you your mate. I pray that you were encouraged today. So listen, we thank all you guys for listening on tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Listen, callers, you can always call 646-668-8485. 646-668-8485. Website www.blogtalkradio/PJC Media. You can go on any mobile device. You can also go on your computer and pull it up, even this show right here, and pass it on to someone to be a blessing to them. You can send us our comments or even questions. Email us at themarriageplaybook@gmail.com. Also like us on Facebook, The Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Listen, PJC Media Worldwide, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal lineup all week long. Please, I encourage you to tune in. These shows will bless you. It's Dovetails with Deborah, Sundays at 2:30 p.m., Right Stuff with Parker J. Cole, Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m., Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, Fridays at 8 p.m., The Parker J. Cole Show, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Don't forget The Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. That's every Monday at 7 p.m. Listen to me. If you are in the Philadelphia area and you would like to hear some good teaching, some good preaching, some excellent worship, I'm telling you, you want to make yourself to the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church. That's 2234 North Front Street, 2234 North Front Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19133. We're our own Dr. Bishop Joanne Dixon is the founder and the overseer. Amen. We thank God for those God has placed in our lives, especially you guys here on air. Again, we pray that we said something that will bless you, bless your life, bless your family. And don't forget, we have to leave on a legacy of Christ and information so our children won't be destroyed by the hands of the enemy. And so we can stop the cycle, you know, of what's going on today. So we thank God for you, Coach Eric.
All I have to say is God bless you and good night.
Good night, you guys. Marriage Playbook, we see you next week. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.